KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 47 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to become partly cloudy today with a high near 65. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. An Ottawa woman will learn next week whether she's been convicted of murdering her 15-month-old son. Judge Jeffrey Neary said Thursday that he'll announce his verdict May 17th in the case against 25-year-old Ashley Cameron. Cameron was charged with first-degree murder and child endangerment in the death of Marquise Doms. Neary heard the case during a non-jury trial last month. Investigators testified that Cameron told them that Marquise had vomited in his bathtub and that she had held his head under a running faucet to clean him, repeating that process as he vomited four or five more times. Cameron testified that she left him in the tub to get some items and found him face down in the water when she returned. Her attorney suggested that Marcus may have had a seizure. News time is 8:01.
You're home most of the time just watching television, and you don't have any problems hearing the TV, so you don't need to have your hearing tested.
At family functions, everyone pretty much leaves you alone anyway, so you don't need a hearing evaluation.
At the doctor's office, your wife asks all the questions, and she'll help you get all the medications right once you get home. You don't need to hear everything the doctor says.
When everyone at coffee is laughing and having a good time telling jokes, it doesn't bother you. You just laugh along with them so they don't think you didn't get it. The fact that you missed the punchline is okay. You don't like dumb jokes anyway, and you definitely don't need to get your hearing evaluated.
During your last performance evaluation, you didn't get the raise you expected. Your boss says he's tired of repeating instructions, and if things don't improve, your job might be in jeopardy. Maybe it is time to get your hearing checked.
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're tired of missing out on quality time with your family, of missing the punchlines with your friends, and maybe even falling behind at work, there is hope. Take control of your life. Call today for a hearing evaluation. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
The Omaha-based Better Business Bureau is warning people about suspicious phone calls regarding medical alert devices. The BBB says consumers from across its service area in Nebraska and southwest Iowa have been inquiring about the calls. The people report that the callers say medical alert devices have been purchased for the people, but the callers need more information about the recipients for delivery. The BBB says it made return calls and was told by one person who answered that the alarm devices carried a fee of almost $35. BBB President Jim Hegarty said the calls to consumers were very suspicious due to the secretive nature and lack of full disclosure to their real purpose. A Prescott man was arrested Wednesday night in Adams County for violating a protective order and harassment. The Adams County Sheriff's Office said Thursday Gary Lilly was taken into custody at around 10:05 p.m. on an Adams County warrant. Lilly posted a $750 bond and was released pending a court date. An unidentified man fleeing from a traffic stop had a literal run-in with the law Wednesday afternoon in Carter Lake. The driver of the car fled from police during an attempted traffic stop at around 1:45 p.m. Wednesday. The man, who was driving a car with Nebraska plates, took off when a Carter Lake police officer tried to stop him for speeding on Avenue Q into Shoreline Estates. The vehicle went over curbs and tore through residential yards and streets. The chase ended when the vehicle collided with an SUV driven by Carter Lake Police Chief Sean Kennedy near the intersection with Q Avenue and Marina Court. The suspect then jumped out of the car and leaped over a fence. Officers found him lying on the ground near a house. He told police that he ran from them because he didn't have a driver's license, but officials weren't able to show that he had any record or outstanding warrants. Neither the suspect nor Chief Kennedy were injured during the collision. Following the crash, the car had skidded into a backup generator for the Carter Lake pump system, badly damaging that machine. Elsewhere in southwest Iowa news, officials of the Riverside School District say they hope another try will do the trick when it comes to passing a bond issue for new district facilities. Superintendent Jim Sutton told KJAN News Thursday the district's Board of Education have accepted a petition calling for a June 25th special election, which, if approved, would result in the construction of a new 7th through 12th grade facility.
Well, it'll be $15,150,000 is the total amount that will be raised. It's another $2.70 question is what it is. Together with the savings we have and borrowing against our remaining sales tax, we're looking at about a $23 million project.
If approved, the new facility will be located near the intersection of Highway 6 and 59 south of Oakland, and it would not require the closure of all of the district's buildings, as had previously been the case. It would also eliminate the idea of a pre-K through 12th grade building and include an auditorium, a geothermal heating system, system, athletic complex, and track, which remained on the district's priority list.
They've always been on our priority list, but we moved them up in priority, and we basically, until the December election, we had said, if we have the money, we'll do it. But by trimming down our project to a 712 building, we did a couple of things. We were able to maintain a couple of the buildings that are still usable in our district, and we were able to assure voters that we would have geothermal in that project and the athletic complex, which before was just a kind of, if we have enough money, then we'll do it thing.
Previous bond attempts for a new K-12 facility were rejected in April of 2011 and February of 2012. The last attempt to pass the measure came up short of the 60% supermajority needed for the measure to pass at 59.2%. Sutton said that's because there were a couple of factors working against them.
One was Iowa Western ran a bond issue on the same day, and so voters were actually asked to vote for ours and vote for theirs, and it made it look like a pretty hefty proposal, even though Iowa Western's was not very costly at all. The other thing was that because of that Iowa Western deal, we had the county decide that they were going to use only one polling place, and that bothered a lot of our folks and confused some of our people, and as a result, I think it affected our turnout.
Sutton says they're hoping they don't have to share the ballot this time around, and that the county will be agreeable to having polling places in each one of the district's communities, as has been the case in the past. An informal meeting on the latest bond issue measure is expected to take place June 11th, just weeks before the scheduled special election. Additional details on the locations and times for the meeting will be announced in the district newsletter and a mailer that will be sent out to district patrons. Sutton says the main thing they have to overcome this time around is voter apathy.
I just would like folks to remember that we're not asking for any more than we have in the past. That's $2.70, and our tax rate again has fallen by... Well, we have to wait for the legislature to make final action on allowable growth, but it's fallen by probably more than 80 cents over the last year. So it's a wise time to be spending this money for a new building. It really is.
And in the other news, the Union Pacific Railroad is updating information from a morning collision between two trains in central Iowa. An eastbound coal train and westbound train carrying cargo containers collided Thursday morning, derailing 13 coal cars and 22 cars of the intermodal cargo train, which carries ocean-going containers on flatbed cars. That's more train cars than originally reported. Union Pacific spokesman Mark Davis says there were no injuries. The crash set down a section of the company's mainline track near Grand Junction, about 60 miles northwest of Des Moines. The cause of the 6:20 a.m. collision is not immediately clear. Davis says the derailment has halted traffic on the main tracks between the Chicago and the company's Iowa and Nebraska destinations. The trains were being detoured. Cleanup was expected to be finished sometime late today. The owner of the Argosy Sioux City Riverboat Casino is petitioning Iowa gaming regulators for awarding another company a license to build a land-based casino. Penn National Gaming Company says the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission ignored deficiencies and improprieties in the Sioux City Entertainment's application to build a Hard Rock-branded casino. The Sioux City Journal reports Penn said in a Wednesday news release that it's exercising its right under state law to ask a state regulatory body to reconsider an action. Commission Administrator Brian Orlico says gaming officials are reviewing Penn's letter and are still determining their next step. The commission selected the Hard Rock Casino in a 3-2 vote on April 18th. Penn submitted two proposals, and Ho-Chunk Incorporated also had put in a bid. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, a silver spire has been permanently installed atop One World Trade Center, bringing the iconic New York City structure to its full symbolic height of 1,776 feet. The pieces of the spire were transported to the building's roof last week. The 408-foot spire will now serve as a world-class broadcast antenna, and an LED-powered light emanating from it will be seen from miles away. Engineers expect to find out today just how serious a radiator leak is in the International Space Station's power system. A radiator loop in which ammonia cools the system has been leaking. Engineers have been doing some rerouting of electronics to bypass that leaky loop. Elsewhere in world news, for 17 days, a woman was able to survive buried in the rubble of a collapsed garment factory in Bangladesh. Rescuers pulled the woman out today after using handsaws and welding and drilling equipment to cut through the iron and debris. The woman had been in the basement of the 8-story building, trapped in a Muslim prayer room. She appeared to be in good shape. This weekend's historic election in Pakistan also threatens to be violent. At least 130 people have been killed in attacks on candidates and party workers since the beginning of April. Two bombs targeting offices of candidates killed three people today in the northwest part of the country. The election marks the first time a civilian government has completed its full five-year term and transferred power in democratic elections. And police in Australia are questioning the family and friends of a couple believed to have gone overboard from a cruise ship the night before the vessel docked in Sydney. Surveillance video from Wednesday night shows the couple going over the railing about the same time, with a brief pause between them. But investigators say they're not sure if they jumped or fell by accident. Authorities have called off the search for the pair. News time is 8:10.
Listen carefully and think what your life would be like if you were constantly faced with
embarrassment, fatigue, irritability, tension and stress, anger, avoidance of social activities, depression,
negativism, danger to personal safety, reduced general health, loneliness,
social isolation, impaired memory, less adaptability to learning new tasks, paranoia, reduced coping skills, and reduced overall psychological health.
So what is it? Heart disease, cancer, or some other serious illness? For many of these diseases, the prognosis may be terminal, but the symptoms you just heard are actually linked to hearing loss. And for that, there is hope, whether the loss is mild or profound. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist with ASI. Hearing loss doesn't have to be a source of embarrassment or depression or any of the other symptoms you just heard. You can avoid many, if not all of them, by treating your hearing loss with hearing aids. Today's hearing aids offer technology that has given back what so many patients thought they'd lost for good. And it starts with an evaluation. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
In our funeral announcements this morning, Barbara Jean Butler, age 85, of Stewart, died Monday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for Barbara Butler will be this morning at 10 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home Chapel in Stewart. Judy Sheriff, age 75, of Greenfield, died Monday at the Winterset Care Center North in Winterset. Celebration of life services for Judy Sheriff will be Saturday at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. The Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Grace Marie King, age 90, of Hancock, died last Saturday in Denver, Colorado. Services for Grace King will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Hancock United Methodist Church. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. Sally Larson, age 79, of Florida, died December 28th. Funeral services for Sally Larson will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Kimbleton. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has the arrangements. Sylvia Mary Gall, age 96, of Erling, died Tuesday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. A mass of Christian burial service for Sylvia Gall will be on Saturday at 1 o'clock at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan is in charge of the arrangements. Lonnie Dale Olson, age 51, of Avoca, died Monday at his home. Graveside services for Lonnie Olson will be Saturday at 3 o'clock at the Oak Hill Cemetery in Hancock. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca is in charge of the arrangements. And Janice Marie Whalen, age 68, formerly of Avoca, died October 5th in Missouri. Graveside services for Janice Whalen will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Graceland Cemetery in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca is in charge of the arrangements. Also in our funeral announcements, Elizabeth Rao, age 106, of Erling, died Wednesday at Murtu Medical Center. Services for Elizabeth Rao are pending at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Our news and funeral announcements were brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.